part of who I am or who we are. And so what's been very evident over the last year and a half or 2 years is that we need to do a better job if we're going to transfer these qualities to generations to come. And so this morning, I just want you to consider how faithful consistency deeply impacts. Faithful consistency deeply impacts. And I just want to use this opportunity to say thank you so very much over the last multiple days for your love, for your encouragement, for your kindness, for your support. Yes, I did have a heart attack. Wasn't exactly sure when I had it. And to God be the glory, I had a stent put in at 90% blockage in my main artery on the left-hand side. And so some of you know that I am stubborn toward being faithfully consistent. I know it's a shocker, isn't it? But I've got medical clearance. Our elders, they were super kind and concerned and said, Tim, what does the doctor say? I said, well, I have an appointment Thursday. I will find out. So thank you so very much. And just there's so many things that I would like to share today just about our DNA when it comes to being faithfully consistent. But I'm just really going to try to press in and focus in on some things because I think it's so important that we understand that the qualities that Father God has honored and blessed in this church family, and this is one of those characteristics. But I also believe it's because we as a church family, we believe in the power of being faithfully consistent as it deeply impacts the lives of people around us. Now, obviously, as we're talking about this morning, you know as well as I do, this works both ways. You can be faithfully consistent at stupid, or you can be faithfully consistent at spirit-filled pursuits. But this morning, we're going to focus on God's character. And so we believe that to be close, we believe that this concept is close to the heart of God, because here's the thing, it reflects his very character. Now, a lot of what I'm going to do this morning, I'm just going to read the scripture, because I asked myself the question, how many of us here this morning have really pressed in to understand the character of God in this area? You know, you may have a verse every so often, and it talks about God's faithfulness, but do we fully understand that the whole of the Old Testament, the whole of the New Testament, is a proclamation of God's consistent faithfulness in our lives? BibleHub.com says it like this. I want you to consider this. Faithfulness is a central theme in the Bible, reflecting God's unwavering commitment to his people. But listen, and his expectation that they, in turn, remain steadfast in their devotion to him. This expectation is woven throughout the scripture, emphasizing the importance of loyalty, trust, and obedience in the believer's relationship with God. God's expectation of faithfulness is a call to a life of unwavering devotion, characterized by obedience, trust, and loyalty. It is a response to his own faithfulness, demonstrated supremely in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, believers are equipped to fulfill this divine expectation, reflecting God's faithfulness in their daily lives. As Chris read earlier, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 11. I encourage you to write that down. Look at that. Verse 9. It just proclaims the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. Jehovah is faithful, and he in turn expects faithfulness from those whom he loves, which is us. This is a principle revealed, as I said earlier, in the Old and the New Testament. Let me read Psalm 36, verse 5 in the ESV. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalm 119, verse 89 and 90. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. If you want to write down Psalm 100 verse 5 and Psalm 118 verse 1, and the book of Psalms is replete with proclamations of God's faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22 and 23, you'll see it again this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. One of the things I love, Old Testament, New Testament, I love how love and faithfulness are so many times intertwined together. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation? Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. What advantage then is there to being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. And I love these scriptures because some of us still need to learn and understand what the role of the children of Israel were and what that transfers to us as church and as his children. But let's just look at this. What does it say? What if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Some of you here this morning, you know your own struggles. We're up and down and we're in and out, but hallelujah, God is not. He's faithful. Look at what it says. Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. That's taken from Psalm 51, verse 4. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. 2 Timothy 2, 1, 11 through 13. The saying is trustworthy. 4. If we have died with him, we also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In a short verse, but just a reminder and a proclamation in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are faithful and consistent to their character. Now, at this point, I just want to mention, when we're talking about faithful consistency, we have to do a comparison here. Unfaithfulness, being unfaithful, is the opposite of faithfulness, and it refers to someone with a lack of loyalty or fidelity. Some of you this morning, you need to look deep within yourself. You need to come clean. Your natural package is to be disloyal and to only be loyal to yourself and what you want. God knows that about you, and he accepts you as you are, but he wants you to move into who he is, and that means trading unfaithfulness for faithfulness. Inconsistent refers to someone being erratic or not regular or predictable. Now, as a young man, in my upbringing, this word predictable, I thought was a bad thing. And I thought it was a boring thing. But what I've learned over the last multiple months, and I've been able to get word groupings and understanding where I've seen and understood, and I can proclaim this morning, the power and the blessing of predictability. Now, I want to just mention Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. The parable of the three servants. If you are familiar with that, open it up, check it out, go home, study this. It's the parable of the three servants, this illustration, this teaching illustration. And I want to point out that each was given a different amount of currency by the master of the household. Now, in America, you know what we get preoccupied with? The amount. We get focused on the size or what was given. But I want to point out that two of the three servants, they received this response. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I give you many more responsibility. Hey, let's celebrate together. Now, I want to point out some things. Notice that all three were given different amounts. The amount is not the issue here. I know that there are people in my life that have been given more amounts. It doesn't matter. I should be thankful that we all get different amounts. It's not about the amount. It's about what we do with what we're given. So look at what it says. The first two were deemed faithful servants. Didn't matter about the amount. It's about how they responded and what they did. The third was called wicked and lazy. A wicked and lazy servant, and was deemed unfaithful. I just want you to think about that, because he's saying, I've given you this amount. The amount's not important. It's what you do with it and what transpires with it. And it's about this faithful consistency with what God has entrusted to us. And then as we do that, it says very plainly, if we are consistently faithful with these small things, then we become trustworthy of greater things. I'm just telling you right now, if you're new to this church family, part of what we have been experiencing over the last multiple years is God's blessing through the years, slowly us learning how to be more faithful and more trustworthy. And we've talked about that. So, what we're proclaiming this morning is another aspect of our Mountain View Chapel biblical DNA, which is being faithfully consistent, because in this, we have the opportunity to reflect the very character of God to those around us. This has been part of who we are, and we must, moving forward, we have to be more committed to this than ever before. Some of you that are new with us, some of you that are checking us out, you're going to learn a little bit more about us this morning as we look into this. I want to jump in and read you a bunch more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. So look at Apollos and me as mere servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Anybody that's a servant leader in this church family, there is a biblical expectation that we should be consistently faithful. That's a godly thing. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works, not giving up meeting together, as some of are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day, that time coming, that time approaching. So, a lot of times when you hang out with me, some of you, you have this internal expectation that I'm going to be focused on you, I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to invest in you, I'm going to try to encourage you and build you up. Would you agree with that? Just making sure you're looking at me. You get what I'm saying? Because there is that expectation of consistency. Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to be very clear about what this characteristic looks like in our individual lives as well as our church family. And it's not what some of you are accustomed to. We believe in the power of faithful consistency in the small seemingly insignificant aspects of everyday life. You get that? This is great. I love when we can come together and worship. This does not represent the majority of my week. The majority of my week is done behind the scenes with you, with other people in unseen ways, non-public format for the glory of God. We believe, and I'm going to use this term, some of you're going to hear this. I'm not talking about the chimney effect, but I'm going to throw this out. We believe in the stack effect or the ripple effect. So you understand, those of you that understand the chimney effect, I'm not talking about the different layers of heat and how it works and all that. I'm just talking about that slowly over time, the stack effect, things are built. Things just, they add up. We're not talking about getting these huge amounts. We're just talking about adding to or the ripple effect. For some of you, it make more sense to say the ripple effect of serving. Learning to live faithfully consistent lives, it stacks up or slowly adds up to create an impact that can deeply alter the lives of the people around us for the proclamation of the good news and the glory of God. The next few minutes, I really need for you to hone in and listen because I've tried to lay the foundation biblically of what the scripture says about God and his character. And we have to be continue to learn to be people that live out his character, not on stage, but quietly where it matters most. It seems that so often the American way of presenting Christianity is the big moment, the big event, or the big stage. Those big moments can capture attention. I want you to understand, we're going to send a group of women down to the ladies' conference in Lynchburg. That is a glorious time. We are not against any of those things. But some of you, those things have wreaked havoc in your life, and I want to show you how. They make an impact, but they typically do not represent the reality of daily living. Listen to me when I say this. Summer camp, we used to run a camp and conference center, so I understand the impact of that. You get together, you have these amazing experiences. Whoa, that was amazing! And it's this, maybe a fireworks situation, it's this beautiful thing, it comes together, but what we have done is so many times we've created this perspective of Christianity that does not translate into 24/7 living. So what happens is we have these monuments, and they are important. God uses those things. But I feel like that those are momentary attention getters to open our eyes, to open our hearts, for us to see things differently. But then if we're trying to take that, and then we're trying to bring it over here into everyday living, within 4 to 7 days, you're usually frustrated, discouraged, and you don't know what to do because it's not working for you the way you thought it was going to back at that big event. So we're not trying to be a church family that does that. That's why when you hear us say certain things, we're not trying to indoctrinate people as much as we're trying to help you understand the process of how to be consistently faithful to this relationship that we say that we believe in because of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Consistency builds confidence. But because it creates a culture of predictability. I'm going to read that to you again because I want you to think about what I'm saying. Consistency builds confidence because it creates a culture of predictability. I don't know if you're aware, but there is currently a movement in our Western world in the United States where young adults between the age of, I'm going to call them young because they're not 65, but between the ages of 18 and 35, are moving more toward a high church worship setting, moving more toward Anglican services, and I could use different terms in different denominations, but in my mind, I understand better now why that phenomenon is taking place. Because I feel like that some people associate the religious traditions with a sense of predictability, which gives them a feeling of confidence, which helps them with a sense of spiritual security. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just telling you what I believe is actually we are witnessing and what's taking place. Because whether you like it or not, and whether I like it or not, there is something beautiful about an aspect of predictability. Oftentimes, predictability is underestimated. Please hear me. Especially in our visual world, predictability is underestimated because it does not feel glamorous. Ooh, oh my gosh. That one got me like 85 likes in 2 minutes. Because it does not feel glamorous, but it is the quality that makes a church family durable. Are you tracking with me? It's that level of predictability. I'm just telling you right now, I didn't understand that, but there's certain things that you expect from me when you're around me that are predictable because I'm trying to be consistently faithful. You get what I'm saying? And so it matters what we do. We have intentionally modeled faithful consistency to this church family through the years, and that characteristic is what allows us. I want you to think about this. This faithful consistency has been one of those DNA points to this church family. And what I mean by that, we just keep showing up. And we don't show up to be seen. We show up because it's a godly right thing to do. But also, if you're new to us, I want you to understand, the stack effect or the ripple effect is the very reason that we are experiencing some of the manifold blessings of God in this church family. Because we're not a one-hit wonder. Are you tracking with what I'm trying to put down? We're not like that. We're just trying to keep plodding along and be faithfully consistent. Let me say it this way. Through the years, that characteristic of faithful consistency has allowed us to take risk by faith. If you are looking for a church family that is risk averse, you're in the wrong group. Because we believe that there is a component to walking by faith where you take risk. And listen, we've been taking more risks the last couple of years than in a long time. But it's this consistency that allows us to be able to take those risks. It's also what allows us to be innovative in responding to change. Are you tracking with me? Some of you are hanging out with us because you started on the front lawn with us years ago. Because we were willing to be innovative because we weren't bound to certain things, but we were committed to being faithfully consistent. So we used to have lawn parties every Sunday out here. We'd have hundreds of people sitting out here with pop tents and, you know, lawn chair. It didn't matter what you brought. You can bring a blanket if you want. You come in shorts. Woody does all winter. You come in shorts. You come in. It doesn't matter. You just show up. Why did we do that? Because we were living out this quality of just being faithfully consistent to building up the body, the good news of Jesus Christ, and encouraging the body to be the body. And we're willing to sacrifice. Some of you, you're learning to sacrifice for the sake of loving God and loving other people. But do you understand? It's this faithful consistency that becomes a characteristic to where that you learn how to sacrifice. Oh. It's been our faithful consistency that creates a belief that the servant leaders in this church family are steady anchors in the sea of uncertainty. Amen. Look at me, hear my heart. I'm going to call you out again. I'm never going to apologize for asking you to go above and beyond and be the man that God's called you to be. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. Turn your hearing aid up so you can hear me. Look at me. Men, we have to learn to be faithfully consistent, and in that be predictable, so that in these turbulent seas of uncertainty, to where we don't have just a couple of anchors in this church family, that this church family across all of our locations and in all of our meetings have these rock solid anchors that people can turn to and know that there's going to be some faithful show up regardless of what's going on around us. An anchor. Men. An anchor in a sea of uncertainty. The quiet power of consistency is that it rarely, and this represents our church family, it rarely makes headlines. I never care about us being, well, I don't know. When I say newspaper, that's, I mean, I guess it's digital now. Power of consistency rarely makes headlines, but it makes a deep impact on people's hearts. People will forget the amazing speeches. Any of you know what I spoke on 3 months ago? I don't either. Unless I go back and look at my notes. It's not about the big glorious speeches, but yeah, we make it that. It's not about these amazing platforms. All the volunteers that we have at our three services, these amazing people that are investing in our children. These children 15 years from now, do you think that they're going to remember that one amazing lesson? They might, if they've got that kind of memory. They're probably not going to remember the lesson. You know what they're going to remember? Whether the man or woman, teenager in there loved them and cared about them and paid attention to them. Do you get what I'm saying? It's about those little things. But yet, we get so sidetracked. Some of you right now, you won't volunteer because you're like, I don't know how to be a perfect speaker to a 7-year-old. Nobody does. Called a professional educator. Thank you, Jesus, for all the women that, men that do that. Whew. You get what I'm saying? No, it's about doing those little things. A child is talking, you look at them and you listen to them. Anyway, I'm getting all fired up now. They won't forget. They may forget amazing speeches and amazing platitudes, but people will not forget when you keep your word. Some of you make excuses. If you say you're going to do it, stink and do it. Don't be a liar. Keep your word. People remember that. People are going to remember when you showed up, because it really mattered to them. We've had people in this church family over the last month and a half. You've been delivering firewood to people in need. You don't need recognition. You don't need accolades. You just show up, you drop it off, and you bless somebody else. I've had people say, who did that? I said, I don't know, and I'm not going to tell you even if I knew. That's not why we're doing it. Some of you, I could go through a litany of things that are done behind the scenes in this church family over and over and over and over again. People say, who did that? I say, it's not important. They did it for the glory of God. Or people are going to remember when you do something small because you actually cared. These are the things that make this church family who we are, and we can never, never lose track of these things. In the long run, consistency is influence. You know, consistent, being faithfully consistent, it doesn't dazzle, but it endures. And endurance is what proclaims the very character of God. I want to just mention this as I wrap things up. I don't even know what time it is. I better hurry. Ladies Bible study. We've got so many ladies Bible study. I want to highlight this one. Karen Boone with the ladies group, one particular night, they send a text out, didn't get a lot of responses, didn't sound like many ladies were making time, and so Karen showed up. One woman, her name is Brittany Canosa. A lot of you know Brittany. at that point in her life and her growth and her pursuit of Christ. A lot of internal stuff going on. But Karen wasn't worried about the number or the amount. She was being faithful to what God had done and what God was doing. And so if you ask Karen or if you ask Brittany, just get their perspective on that particular night, because that particular night, Karen Boone and Brittany Canosa had the most special trajectory-changing evening together, because Karen quietly proclaimed something about faithful consistency, about what it means to love God and love others and serve God by serving others that you can't put in a manual. It was lifestyle proclamation, and it was the most meaningful night for both of those sisters. Amen. Let me ask you this. In reference to being faithfully consistent, how often are you opening up the Holy Scriptures to learn the ways of Jesus? Are you being consistent on a daily basis? Or is it whenever you feel desperate? What about opening up your heart and soul to talk to the Creator of the universe? Is it when you have no other option left on the planet? Or is it something all throughout the day that you can have conversational interaction with the very Creator through Jesus Christ by the work of the Spirit? What about you being able to open your eyes and your heart to the needs of people in your life? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your grandkids. Can you even see other people? You're in a situation where you know that somebody is super thirsty. You've got a bottle of water and you're super thirsty. Are you at a point where you can even see and identify the thirst or the need in somebody else's life and hand them a bottle of water instead of opening it and drinking down most of it, offer it, but give them the bottle of water in Jesus' name, not for recognition? Because I'm telling you right now, my understanding of Jesus and the Scripture and the heart of God, that's what Jesus would do. Not to be seen, not to get likes, but just simply serving, because it's not about me and my world and my needs being met all the time. It's about being able to see and respond to the needs of other people. Think about how faithful consistency deeply impacts the people in our lives and glorifies our great God. And it all fits together. We talk all the time about learning to love God. You got to accept His love, and you've got to learn to love Him back. Then you learn to love other people. And then we're able to serve God by serving others. When do we do that? Once a year? No, it becomes part of our lifestyle, to where that we are making those choices to faithfully and consistently invest in other people, because we're able to glorify God through that process and proclaim His faithfulness to a world that desperately needs it. I'm going to ask you this morning to fight, to be honest, and address your own unfaithfulness, so that you and we as a family can learn to be a faithful group. I'm going to ask you to fight to become consistent and predictable. And let's be a church family that renounces inconsistency. As a father and a grandfather, if you ask my family, usually anywhere between 5:30 and 6:30 in the morning, if we have family in, I'm very predictable. Not because I tell people, not because of something. It's because people over and over again have been looking for me, stumbling over me, wanting to talk, and they walk in, and I'm sitting in my chair in our bedroom with a cup of coffee next to my seat, and I have the Word of God open. And I'm opening my heart up, and I'm trying to learn the ways of Jesus, not because of this, but because of this. Being faithfully consistent is the heart of God on our behalf. And we should reflect and learn how to represent him in this world and learn to be a faithfully consistent family that doesn't need recognition, that doesn't need likes, and we don't need news coverage because we're not doing it for any of those reasons. And that will make us a church family that will glorify our great God because we are reflecting his character. When people say, why did you do that? It's a beautiful thing to say because God asked me to. My Savior modeled that. I felt his Spirit nudge me. It's not about being seen. But if you take that across our church family, can you see the stack or the ripple effect of us just learning how to be faithfully consistent behind the scenes? Keep that in mind as we wrap up with the song that we're about to sing. Let's stand together.